Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 8. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" This is the text. Christ is risen. Alleluia. We hear of this Ethiopian court official who had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, Ethiopia traditionally had a very strong Jewish presence. The migration of Jews to Ethiopia, it happened in stages, but by the 7th century BC, Judaism was the official state religion of Ethiopia. And it remained the official religion of Ethiopia for 1,000 years until around 330 AD when the Ethiopian emperor Izana converted to Christianity. You might say became a completed Jew, that like all Jews he were supposed to do, he received Christ as the Messiah. Needless to say, an Ethiopian making a religious pilgrimage to Jerusalem was not out of the ordinary. As this man was beginning his journey back to back home, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. In fact, he was reading the Song of the Suffering Servant from Isaiah 53. Now, these words from Isaiah can be some uncomfortable, even confusing words if you don't know that they're pointing to Jesus. This is the Old Testament reading each year on Good Friday. It points to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit working directly through Philip has an angel instruct Philip to run alongside of the chariot. And he hears this man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, in the ancient world, you never read quietly. It just was unheard of. Whenever you read something, you always read out loud. You were to share it with others. Nobody read quietly. So he hears this. He hears this word of Scripture that Christ has opened his mind to understand. And Philip asks the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" Absolutely. How can you know or understand something unless someone teaches you? Earlier this week, I had posted on Facebook, on our Redeemer's Youngest Adults, the group page. It was an article that somebody else had shared that I read, and it's concerning millennials, Generation Y, the 35 and under crowd, and why they as a group, so many of them have abandoned life in the church and really, you know, faith in God in general. And I made a comment concerning the author's argument for why the author viewed this as legitimately, you know, a reason, you know, there is a legitimate reason this is happening in the mind of the author. But the argument of the author, I argued, was really just part of the problem. Because the real problem is, I mean, simply a lack of faith, a lack of understanding, a lack of the knowledge of God. You know, Generation Y, as a group, painting in a broad brush here, is probably the least biblically literate generation since the 1500s. They just are. They have completely ignored Scripture as a group. The author of the article, it's entitled "Don't Take Me to Church," is the article. The author argues that young people are leaving the church because they don't like the hypocritical pastors or the hypocritical people who they tend to find in the church. And again, the author viewed this as a legitimate reason why the young people are, you know, just leaving. Well, yes, the church is full of sinners. I hate to break that to you this morning, but you are. And the pulpits are full of sinners also. We are. The word hypocrite, literally, it means having two faces. Absolutely. I am simultaneously sinner and saint. I am a hypocrite, if you want to look at it that way. That is the reality in which we live. But what caught my attention in this article is that as a group, the author was lending legitimacy to young people casting judgment upon God because of the actions of people. You know, my need for God needs to be judged on the merits of God and my need for Him and what He has done for me. And I commented that, you know, this attitude is simply part of the ignorance that plagues this generation. And when I speak of ignorance, I mean, I'm not trying to insult anyone. I mean, ignorance is simply a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. You know, I am ignorant of a great many things because I've never been taught. There are simple things out there that just baffle me. You know, I couldn't change a flat tire in my car if my life depended on it. I wouldn't know how to properly set up the jack. Honestly, I don't even know where the jack is in my car. I am calling roadside assistance every time. I am ignorant of how to do this. And I say this to my shame. Well, concerning God and His Word, you know, we live in a society that is ignorant. And, you know, it's not really beneficial to try to sit and figure out whose fault it is, why this has happened. We just need to figure out what we can do with the reality that we have today and move forward and make sure that, you know, there is someone there to guide them. Because, I mean, in the past 40-plus years in our Western culture, you know, serious study of the deep mysteries of God, the majesty of God, it's just gone by the wayside. And very superficial teaching concerning God has just, it's all throughout our society. The God's just the big guy in the sky. And very little real teaching has happened. And this is why it is so important to be actively engaged with our children, with our young children, and trying to reach out to the, you know, the 35 and under crowd too, and then even, you know, my generation, you know, of my high school classmates that I have a little bit of contact with, there's not a one of them that goes to church on any regular basis. We need to make sure that God's word is heard, not just within these walls, but in our homes, with our family in particular. Be engaged with your children. Be engaged with them here in worship. Teach them the liturgy. One of my earliest memories as a child, and I know that I was less than 3 years old because we moved away from St. Peter in Decatur, Indiana. My dad took a call the week before my third birthday. And I can remember sitting with my mom in St. Peter's and her having the hymnal open, pointing out, you know, how to read along with a hymn and how to follow along with the liturgy. I can remember that vividly as a child. Be engaged. You know, even if you have it memorized, you know, open your hymnal and teach your children, your grandchildren. Teach them how to speak and sing back to God the words of Scripture He has given. Teach them what adults do to worship God. I mean, your children and grandchildren, I trust you, want to be treated like adults. If you don't believe me, just ask them. In every walk of life, Children always want to be treated as being older than they currently are. It's just a natural thing for them. So teach them what it means to be an adult Christian. You know, when we look at the high school age Christians, you know, who have not been actively engaged in the Word of God, maybe outside of confirmation class. That's about the last time they ever seriously studied anything. And their memory of life in the church mostly goes back to, you know, maybe scavenger hunts or a youth lock-in. And this person will undoubtedly look at their faith maybe as something that they've outgrown, or that paper-thin faith when they get to college just gets crushed. If you want to know what happened to Generation Y, this is what happened. They got crushed in college. And a lot of them even before they got to college. It has happened for this entire generation. Now, again, it's pointless to sit and lay blame, you know, why this has happened. Why has there been this lack of learning? We need to look to move forward and make sure that it doesn't happen with the generation that is still within our homes. And we need to reach out to those who have been crushed. And the question to them is the question of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, well, how can I understand unless someone guides me? The past couple weeks, I've mentioned how we each have a sphere of influence. Your family, your children, these people you love, guide them concerning God's word of truth. And this requires for you to have more than a paper-thin faith, because hard questions are going to come. But if you follow through on last week's challenge, shall I say, to ask people, you know, what do you think will happen to you when you die? And if they say they believe they'll go to heaven, you know, ask them why. As I am, you know, unfortunately confident that you received a variety of answers, at least many of you did, I pray that you understand that your loved ones who have this ignorance or confusion, it's just that they're in the same position as this Ethiopian eunuch. How can I understand unless someone guides me? Take the time to be that guide. Seek out good resources. Because like we heard in John's first epistle, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. There's also a lot of error out there, as John said. And if you aren't sure how to begin, come talk to me. If your child was struggling in school, having trouble with say a math assignment, and the instructions were a little confusing, and the teacher has said, hey, if you ever have problems and something doesn't make sense, call me and I'll help you out. How many parents would call the teacher for assistance? I don't know any who wouldn't. Well, if math is that important, how important is the forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Plumb the depths of the mind of Christ. I mean, yes, the reality is that the ways of God are unsearchable, as Scripture says. The fullness of God is incomprehensible, as we confess in the creeds. You know, as I've said before, how can you fully understand He who stretches beyond the borders of the universe? However, God is knowable. At least the parts of Him that He has revealed. And my experience is that the deeper into the study of God I have traveled, yes, the harder it is. And we don't always like that. It's hard on me because I am forced to look more intently into myself and examine myself. And when we examine ourselves, we don't like what we see because I know that I have two faces. However, the deeper into theology, the study of God I travel, the more comfort I have known, because I see how Christ has completely covered the ugliness of my sinful self. As I look back on my life, the more uncomfortable I became with my sinful self, the more comfort I have known in Christ. We need to continue to grow in our understanding of the mysterious and hidden things of God. Understanding God, it does not come naturally in this sinful world. The question asked by the Ethiopian, it is the question for us all. How can I understand unless someone guides me? Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.